Radio.
10 Things I Learned from Walking Camino de Santiago. A talk by Father Nicholas Pierce at the Australian Catholic Youth Festival 2015, held at the Adelaide Convention Centre.
I want to share with you the 10 things that I learned about the Camino. I've learned walking the Camino for the first time that I think you can apply in your own life. Now, if you've got your pens and paper out, that's fine. We've got brochures here, so you've got a copy of these before you go home today. If you want to take notes anyway, take notes. Don't worry about it. No one's got epilepsy in the room? No, it's serious. Freaking things like that. Should get epilepsy, so I was asking a serious question. Okay, 10 tips. Here we go. Number one, be willing to give everything. Whatever your goal is, you want to be an AFL footballer? You want to be a priest? You want to be a mother? Whatever it is, be willing to give everything. Set a high goal for yourself. Make sure it's high enough. No more mediocrity. Get off the couch. Get out and do something amazing with your life. Change the world for the better, whatever God's calling you to do. Any map makers in the room? Cartographers? This is the map of the first day of the Camino. So across the bottom here, you've got 25 kilometers in distance, but this line here is the elevation. So as we saw in the documentary, we started at 200 meters above sea level, and we ended up at 1,450 meters above sea level. So 1,250 meter ascent. In the documentary, I said, I didn't think I could do it again. Well, we didn't do it again. When we started this year, we missed this day because it is that hard. But just because something's high or tough shouldn't mean that you shouldn't strive for it. Set your goals high. Number two, start training now. Now, if you're in the plenary session this morning, Jason Everett was speaking about this. Whatever your long-term goal is, if it's marriage, you need to start living for marriage today. If you think God's calling you to consecrate a life or a priesthood, what are you doing about that today? For me, it was about the Camino. So 6 months before I left, I thought, right, time to start training. So I went out and bought new shoes, shorts, t-shirt. Anyone else do that when you make a new resolution? You go out and buy a whole heap of new stuff. That's what I did. And I went out, and there's a place called the Thousand Steps in Melbourne. And it's up the side of a hill, you've done. It's not that hard, is it? Oh, it's not easy, but it's not hard. If you know, mothers do it, carrying babies on their back. Cappuccinos on a Monday morning, you know what I mean? School groups do it as training, you know what I mean? It's challenging. I got halfway up, hyperventilated, had to sit on the side of the track for a good 20 minutes before I could then walk down, and then have to sit in my car for 30 minutes before my legs stopped shaking in order to drive my car home. And I thought, wow. Now, if we go back here, the ascent of the Thousand Steps gets you to this village here on the first day of the Camino, let alone the rest of the way. And I thought to myself, I'm in trouble here. I'm supposed to be leading a group of pilgrims, and I can't even do this. So I said, right, I'm going to start training now. 3 weeks later, I've done nothing. Why? Because I failed to make resolutions. If you're going to set a high goal for yourself, and you're going to focus on training on it now, you need to set some concrete resolutions. So if you were listening to Jason Everett this morning, and you said, right, I'm going to start preparing myself for my husband, well, that's all well and good, but don't go back to your boyfriend's house on Saturday night. Make a resolution this weekend. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do more of this. We need to set ourselves concrete resolutions in order to achieve our long-term goals. You need to find those things in your life that are going to help you achieve your goal, whatever it is, and do more of them. And you need to find those things that are stopping you achieve that goal, and you need to do less of them. For me, it was Monday lunch. In Melbourne, almost every priest has Monday as a day off. So if you want to be anointed, it's probably the same most way around the country. If you die and you want to be anointed, don't die on Monday in Melbourne, okay? Because all the priests are generally doing one of two things. There's golfing priests, we go out and play golf on Monday, and there's lunching priests. to go out and eat lunch on a Monday. And I was firmly sitting in the lunch club. A few pre's, catch up, maybe a beer, one or two courses. It was a feast day, three courses. There goes 4 hours, $80. There's nothing actually sinful about that. It's good for people to get together. It's good to socialise. But because my goals had changed, I needed to change that behaviour. So I said to myself, right, I'm not going to lunch on a Monday until I've walked the Camino. I needed to save the money. I needed to lose some weight. And I needed to use that time. So I wasn't only stopping doing a behaviour that wasn't helping, but it was starting to do something else. So every Monday I went out and I did 20 kilometres of walking. Every day I parked my car in one spot, I'd walk for 10 kilometres, turn around and come back. One day I accidentally walked for 15 kilometres, which was a bit of a shame because I then had to walk 15 kilometres back. But anyway, so it's stopping doing the things that are not helping you achieve it and starting to do the things that will help you to achieve it. Which brings me to number four. You need to prepare to be unpopular. I started getting phone calls. What are you doing? You're not coming to lunch anymore. Are you too good for us? Just come next week. There's someone special in from town. Do you mean? My goals had changed, but my friends' goals hadn't. And they didn't understand my goals because none of them were walking the Camino. The only other time this happened in my life was when I went to the seminary. Obviously, the seminary is 7 years. It's quite secluded to a certain degree. You don't see your friends anywhere near as much. And my mum said to me at the beginning, your true friends will be the people who stick by you even when they don't share your goals. It was very true. The friends I have now that were my friends before the seminary are my closest friends because they were able to stick through with me even when they didn't see me as regularly and even when they didn't quite understand what I was doing. Number five, halfway through, 12 minutes to go. Seek advice, but at one point or another, make a decision. I want to talk about, this is my pack for my first Camino. I actually downsized a little bit for the second one. Bag, shoes, thongs, towel, I'll come back to the towel. Toothbrace, toothbrush, deodorant, soap. Ladies, that's it. I didn't need a hairbrush. GoPro camera, water bladder, mask kit, shorts, socks, jocks, vestments, and that's it. The towel is the one thing I coveted. If you've ever used a travel towel, it's like a big shabby for your car, and it just doesn't dry you properly. And we had the hotel booked for 3 nights in Santiago at the very end, and I didn't care about the TV or the mini bar or the king-size bed. I just wanted a proper towel. I've been using the shabby. But I really actually want to speak about my shoes. Everything that's ever been written about the Camino is online. If you were to type in Camino pilgrimage into Google, you'll get thousands, tens of thousands of hits. But probably the most common conversation topic is the shoes. What type of shoes do you wear? Do you wear shoes or boots? Do you wear woolen socks or synthetic socks? Do you wear socks and sock liners, or do you just wear one pair of socks? Do you put Vaseline on your feet before you put your socks on in your shoes? Halfway through the day, do you leave your shoes on so your feet don't swell? Or do you take them off to rest your feet? But what happens if your feet... It's all there. And I've read it all. And that stage, I was living about an hour out of the city and I was working in the vocations office. So I was going into town maybe twice a week. And I've been into every Anaconda, Mountain Design, Kathmandu. And I've tried on probably 20 pairs of shoes. But I hadn't actually bought a pair of shoes. One thing that everyone agrees on, no matter what type of shoes you get, is you need to buy them early and you need to wear them. I finally found a little shop in the centre of Melbourne. The guy had walked the Camino before. He actually wasn't trying to sell me anything. We were just chatting. I brought the cheapest pair of shoes that I tried on, and in 33 days, I didn't get one blister. What's the lesson? Whatever it is you want to do, whether it's a vocation in the church, or a job, or an occupational marriage, find other people who have done it before you and ask their advice. Find good books. Go to good websites. Read. Look into it. But at one point or another, you're going to have to buy the shoes. you're going to have to make a decision for yourself. Don't hit the snooze button. Find those times in your day that you waste and put them towards your goal. So not only was I walking on a Monday, but I was walking each morning, 45 minutes each morning. In that window of time between when my alarm goes off when I want to get up and my last alarm goes off when I know I have to get up. Who's got that window? You sort of go, I have to be up by 7:15 to be on this train to go to work, but I'm going to set my alarm for 6:30 to get up and go for a walk, or get up and read a book, or get up and say my prayers. Me, definitely, 3 alarms each morning. And more often than not, that window never gets fulfilled. That's the type of time you should be allocating to your goal, whatever it is. For you, it might be PlayStation. It might be Facebook. How many people are on Facebook here? Honestly here, how many people would check their Facebook once an hour or more? We're looking maybe 3 minutes an hour. That's 10 hours a day that you're awake. That's 30 minutes a day that you could be setting aside for your goal. Build that relationship with Christ. Number 7. We're almost there. Surround yourself with good people. Find people who share your goal, and they'll make the tough times easier and the good times even better. This was our group that formed together, so we didn't start with all these people. And I didn't particularly like all of these people. No, honestly, there was one guy who snored like an absolute trooper. And every time we went into a hostel, there may have been 100 beds in the hostel, and I would go in and put my sleeping bag on one. Without fail, 33 nights in a row, he put his sleeping bag directly above mine, or beside mine, or below mine. But because we had a common goal, and we were supporting each other in that, making a pilgrimage, those little things sort of didn't matter. Again, the other experience for me with this was with the seminary. In my discernment process, I'd been thinking and praying about the priesthood, I'd been speaking to a priest, but apart from that, it was a very private thing. Once I went into the seminary and was surrounded by other people who were asking the same questions and trying to get to the same goal as me, things really fired up. This is Justin and Patrick. Justin's in the wheelchair. He had a progressive neurological disorder. He had basic use of his hands and basic use of his feet. His best friend pushed him for 33 days, up every mountain, down every valley. Fed him every piece of food he needed, stopped every time he needed a drink of water, showered him every night, dressed him every morning. Have you got a best friend that will do that for you if you ask them? But probably more importantly, guys, are you the kind of person who would do that if your best friend asked you? Number 8. 6 minutes to go. Make sure you're laughing. If you're not laughing, then it's the greatest indicator that the Holy Spirit doesn't want you doing what you're doing. Ladies, if you're in a relationship and he doesn't make it his special effort every day to make you laugh, drop him like a sack of potatoes. Get out of there. Gentlemen, if you don't make it your special effort every single day to make her happy, and we're not talking, happy, so everyone's happy, but to find joy together, then you're not fulfilling your responsibility. And vice versa. Ladies, you've got to do it for them as well. Find the joy, find the laughter, and you've found what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. If you're not laughing, if there's no joy, there's the greatest indicator that God wants you to do something else with your life. Number 9, be ready to change. Our group size changed, we changed, people's destination changed. Some people weren't walking to Santiago, but after they came in contact with our group, that's where they went. One guy joined our group and then caught the bus with us to Fatima at the end. Be willing to change. If you're going to be open to doing what the Lord wants you to do in your life, then be ready for Him to change things in you. Change is not a bad thing. Finally, number 10, be willing to trust, okay? You've got to trust in something. For us on the Camino, it was yellow arrows painted on rocks. Sometimes it was like this, sometimes it was sort of cemented into the side of the building, other times spray painted on the road. Every now and then, though, you'd get to a fork in the road, and there'd be like a rock the size of a Coke can, plonked on the corner, pointing in one direction. And I used to just laugh at myself because I thought if this was Australia, there'd be a group of young people somewhere who turned it around, watching all these buildings going in the wrong direction. But it never happened once. Find something to trust in and make sure it's big enough. Obviously, the Catholics, we want you to trust in Christ. I want to finish with my favourite passage of scripture, which is the passage of St. Peter on the boat. So Jesus has just fed the 5,000, and he sent the disciples ahead of him to pray so that he could stay behind and pray. And they're out in the lake on the boat. Night has fallen. It's dark. They see this guy coming to him on the water. It's Peter who calls out first and says, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Right, here we go. Let's up the ante. Come." There's Peter in the boat. It's windy, the water's dark, it's cold, the waves are crashing. He's there going, "Of course you can do it. You just fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He's surrounded by his 11 closest friends. And what are they saying? They're saying, "Don't you dare get out of the boat. If you get out of the boat, you're going to sink. And then one of us is going to have to come in. And you're going to be wet, and he's going to be wet, then we're all going to be wet, and we're going to be cold for the rest of the night." But Peter doesn't listen to the voices of the crowd. He doesn't worry about the wind and the waves and the darkness of the water. He swings his legs over the side of the boat, and he walks on the water towards Christ. Jesus is asking you all to do something impossible with your life. If you keep your eyes on him, just like Peter did, you'll be able to achieve. Of course, Peter, as he always does, stuffs things up. He takes his eyes off Christ, he sinks, and Jesus picks him back up, puts him in the boat, and says, "Why did you doubt? Why did you fail to trust?" Trust in him, put your faith in him, and he will enable you to do incredible things with your life. Something impossible. The world will tell you it's impossible. Your friends might tell you it's possible. But if you trust in him, he'll help you achieve it. That's it, ladies and gentlemen.
That was Father Nicholas Pierce with 10 Things I Learned from Walking Camino de Santiago. This talk is from the Australian Catholic Youth Festival 2015. And was recorded as a collaboration between XT3 and Cradio. And for more from the Australian Catholic Youth Festival, and for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.